Hey guys, it's episode 585 of All Time Top 10 Attention People with Ears. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having guilty pleasure songs, although I'll admit I have less than I used to. Still, you know, the instinct to be embarrassed by enjoying a song is something to be embraced, I think, as these are sometimes very special songs to us. You know, it's good stuff. Don't fight it. Anyway, thanks again to the great Brian Myers for joining us in another round of Guilty Pleasure Songs. Picks 5 through 1 are coming up next in Top 10 Guilty Pleasures Volume 2, Part 2. And if you missed Part 1, it is available wherever you get your podcasts and over at the archives. Please check out Episode 75, Top 10 Guilty Pleasures Volume 1 with the fabulous Shannon Hurley. I'll put the link up in the show page to that. Everyone go check that out. It was a long time ago, but it was fun. Anyway, it's been another fun week over there at the ATTT social media spots, namely Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, and surprisingly, lots of fun to be had on Blue Sky. I don't know. We've been having some good interactions over there. Anyway, we hope you guys are having fun sounding off on our little music polls, like for the bonus track of the week and those other polls, which are about the continuing reveal of the ATTT 1000, aka the 1000 greatest songs we've ever heard. This week, we are putting our punk rock hearts on our punk rock sleeves with three new entries. At number 712, it's Jawbreaker with Chesterfield King. I was asking you guys, what's the best punk band of the 90s? Good suggestions here from you guys. Bad Religion, Rancid, Sublime, Bikini Kill, Fugazi, Skunk Anansie, Body Jar, Brainiac, The Offspring, Pennywise, Refused, Green Day, Rocket from the Crypt, Dag Nasty, and Prong. Good stuff there, guys. But we love Jawbreaker, and Chesterfield King was recently heard in Top 10 90s Emo Bands. If you want to hear that, it's a very recent episode. Shout out to Sir Ryan Stockstad. All right, at number 711, we had Pep Talk by The Descendants. I was asking you guys, who is the best pop punk band before Green Day? And you guys had good suggestions here. The Ramones, the Buzzcocks, Question Mark, and the Mysterians, the Stiff Little Fingers, the Velvet Underground, the Sonics, the Clash, Delta 5, the Kinks, the Undertones, and Husker Du. But yeah, we're talking about the Descendants. And that song was featured in Top 10 Depression Busting Anthems with her good friend Marina V. And she wants to give that episode a shout out. So shout out to you, Marina. Thank you. And also shout out to our new friends on Blue Sky that they stand for the Descendants, apparently. Fun conversation over there about that underrated band. And to me, that underrated song of theirs, Pep Talk. So good. At number 710, it was Reckless Eric with Whole Wide World. I was asking you guys, what's the all-time best punk rock love song? And you guys came through with some great stuff here. Of course, Punk Rock Girl from the Dead Milkmen. That song is going to make an appearance at some point in this thing, I think. Hold out for it. But also Social Distortion, Story of My Life, Descendants, The Silly Girl, The Dolly Rots, Everything, The Voivods, Love Comes in Spurts, The Buzzcocks, Ever Fallen in Love, The Ramones, I Want You Around, The Undertones, Teenage Kicks, The Only Ones, Another Girl, Another Planet, The Descendants with Marriage, and The Rotters, Sit on My Face, Stevie Nicks. Thank you for that. But we absolutely love Whole Wide World. Our friend Nick wants to mention the cover version by Cage the Elephant and others, and wants us to know also that Reckless Eric is still going strong today, and he released an album in August of 2023. Thank you for that, Nick. Also, our friend John Paul Hawk says, great song. As far as I know, the first time I heard it was in the movie Stranger Than Fiction. And our friend Joe Lavelle says the following about Whole Wide World's appearance in the movie Stranger Than Fiction. He says, Will Ferrell serenades Maggie Gyllenhaal with this song in the film Stranger Than Fiction. I thought it was a really good song choice because A, the character had just begun teaching himself guitar, and this song is easy to play. Only two chords, and he can get away with repetitive downstrokes as a strum pattern. B, it adds an extra layer to the character that he would even know this song. And see, the song is totally dorky, but it's sincere, just like the character is dorky but sincere. Yeah, it's not the first time I've heard of it, I think, but that's the one moment in Stranger Than Fiction. I think that's the one moment where I realized that was a great song. And indeed it is at number 710. So now those three songs are added to the ATTT 1000 playlist. So go check them out. They're building every week. We keep adding more stuff and they're pretty fun, I think. They're over there at Spotify and YouTube. All right, let's get into this episode. Let's wrap up our talk about our favorite guilty pleasures with the great Brian Myers. Roll the tape.
Uh-oh. We've drawn Judge Snyder.
Is that bad?
Well, he's had it in for me ever since I kinda ran over his dog.
You did?
Well, replace the word kinda with the word repeatedly, and the word dog with son.
Well, you good folks can rest easy now because you've come to the very best in legal representation. And as for your case, don't you worry. I've argued in front of every judge in the state, often as a lawyer.
Your Honor, I move for dismissal.
I move for a bad court thingy.
You mean a mistrial?
Yeah. That's why you're the judge and I'm the law-talking guy.
The lawyer.
Right.
The foreman will pass the verdict to the bailiff. This verdict is written on a cocktail napkin. And it still says guilty. And guilty is spelled wrong.
Eat.
Will the foreman please read the real verdict?
We find the defendant guilty.
Do I still get paid?
Top 10 Guilty Pleasures, Volume 2, Part 2.
Not guilty. Getting in your way while you're trying to steal the day. And I'm not for the rest. I'm not trying to steal your best. I'm not trying to be small, but I only want what I can get. I'm really sorry for your raging head, but like you heard me said, not guilty.
We're continuing right now, right?
Of course.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. I'm like, really?
I'm coming back. Anyway, shall we?
So now I'm going to pretend like I haven't seen you in a week. And
well, say, that's
like,
the
hey,
joke.
What's up? Good to see you again, man.
That's the joke.
Yeah.
Brian actually believed me, everybody, when I said I was going to go home and come back next week.
Well, I wasn't sure. I'm like, this is news to me.
It's
I should
a
probably
joke.
Tell you my schedule. I'm not around.
It doesn't matter. I'll be here. Yep. I made myself a key when you weren't looking.
Hey, wait a minute. What?
What? Anyway, and we're back. Hey, everybody. Thanks for waiting for us for a week. We're back with part two of Top 10 Guilty Pleasures, Volume 2. We're back with our good friend, Brian Myers. Hey, Brian.
Hey, man. What's up?
Good to see you.
You too.
Yeah.
You
too. It's been a long week. Blah, blah, blah. Make the same joke every week. All right. So... We're back with Picks 5 through 1. Before we get back into it, let's do another quick round of plugging. You're producing stuff, right?
Yeah. You want to do not as much as I want, but yes.
You want to promote any of that?
Yeah, just put the wraps today on a high school friend of mine's niece. She's doing an independent film, and she wanted to do a cover of the song Dreams by the Cranberries for the end credits. And so various mutual friends recorded parts. I tracked the drums here at Fossil Box, and then I did the final mix and mastering of the song for them. Just finished it today.
Yeah, you did. Congratulations.
So... And after taking a little hiatus, I'm going to be refocusing my attention on completing and starting new songs of my own.
Yeah, yeah, you got some songs out there. It's on, is it on streaming services?
I just have
Bandcamp.
I have things on Bandcamp. Okay. And there's a music video that will soon be released on YouTube, and so I'm going to be trying to focus on new stuff as well as back catalog of different projects I've been involved in over the years.
Man,
you know,
Brian's doing LA right, everybody. He's got his hands in like a million things at once. That's how you do Los Angeles.
Yeah, and I'm tired.
It's also the side effect. Yes.
What I'm now I am now calling what I call the real rock and roll lifestyle, which is the endless pursuit of a good night's sleep. That's my takeaway anyhow.
So. Yeah. Well, you've been through the ringer, I'm sure. You don't need to. Yeah. It's been done, right? All the wild stuff.
I never really dove into that.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah, always thought that stuff was a distraction from the good stuff of making music. So
there you go. Well, I'm going to put up links to all the stuff. So
thank you.
Yeah, everyone, if you're looking for production work, Fossil Box Studios is for you. Right.
Thanks, Ben.
Reach out to me, and I'll help you reach out to Brian if you need it. So anyway, let's get back into our list. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, number five is up next. It's mine. And as far as the guilty part of Guilty Pleasures, I feel like my guilt for liking and respecting and enjoying the songs of Taylor Swift has lessened over time. I don't feel as guilty as I used to. I always liked that song, Love Story, way back in the day. And I thought she had potential, and I didn't want to admit it. But over the years, she's surpassed any expectations that I've had for her, especially in her songwriting, her taste, and the general direction of her career. You know, it's insane how big she is.
It is.
It's insane. You know, she just did 6 sold-out nights at SoFi Stadium. Yeah. She probably could have done 10 easily.
Yeah, it's great. You know? It is certainly surprising.
Yeah. She's the LeBron James of music right now. And I read that not only did her Eras tour make over $1 billion.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's not a competition, but she outsold her nearest competitor, Beyonce, 17 times over.
Really?
Gosh,
yeah. I didn't know that.
That's what I read. Also, shout out to Taylor taking care of her crew. I don't know if you heard about this.
I did hear about that.
She
amazing.
Had 2 sets of road crew for her tour. One was, you know, doing the show that she was doing. The other crew was setting up for the next one, whatever the next city was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's probably pretty grueling. I'm sure they get paid pretty well anyway. But then she gave them all a $100,000 bonus, every member of her crew.
Heard about that.
That is so cool.
Yeah. I know every musician I know that even isn't a fan of her music, their respect for her went way up when that happened.
Yep.
You know?
Me,
because we are in an industry where people just get taken advantage of all the time. And then to have someone like that actually have such a demonstration of respect for the people that work for them, you know, it's
100%.
In that sense, I would say she's a real role model, and her example should be followed more.
Yeah, everyone should be more like Taylor Swift. Anyway, her album 1989 for me is where she cemented her status as pop queen, and her music has only gotten more interesting since, I think. But I'm going to play something from the album 1989. This is a song called Blank Space. And yes, I feel slightly guilty still, but not that much.
I don't know if I know it.
Blank Space? Oh, check it out. It's number 5.
Number 5. Blank Space.
My next mistake, love's a game, wanna play. New money, suit and tie, I can read you like a magazine. Ain't it funny, rumors fly, and I know you heard about me. So hey, let's be friends, I'm dying to see how this one ends. Grab your passport and my hand, I can make the bad guys good for a weekend. So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over.
and I'll write your name. Cherry lips, crystal skies, I could show you incredible things. Stolen kisses, pretty lies. You're the king, baby, I'm your queen. Find out what you want, be that girl for a month. Wait, the worst is yet to come. Time you leave, cause darling, I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream. So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over, if the high was worth the pain. Got a long list of ex-lovers, they'll tell you I'm insane. Cause you know I love the players, and you love the game. Cause we're young and we're reckless, we'll take this way too far.
It's just, you know, perfectly put together pop music, you know.
It is well done. Honestly, I think that's the first time I ever heard it. I was not familiar with it at all.
That song was number one for 7 weeks.
Oh, well, you know.
Year 2014.
You can tell I had my finger on the pulse, didn't I?
Yeah, it's okay. Wikipedia, I was reading more about the album 1989 and how it changed the trajectory of her career. And here's what Wikipedia has to say about that. They say, having been known as America's sweetheart, thanks to her wholesome and down-to-earth girl next door image, Swift saw her reputation blemished due to her history of romantic relationships with a series of high-profile celebrities. The New York Times asserted in 2013 that her dating history had begun to stir what feels like the beginning of a backlash, questioning whether Swift was in the midst of a quarter-life crisis. The Tampa Bay Times observed that until the release of 1989, Swift's love life had become a fixed tabloid interest and overshadowed her musicianship. Swift disliked the media portrayal of her as a, quote, serial dater, feeling that it undermined her professional works, and became reluctant to discuss her personal life in public. The tabloid scrutiny on her image prompted her to write satirical songs about her perceived image in addition to her traditional romantic themes. So that album also had Shake It Off on it, which also talked about that topic where she was, you know, just hounded by tabloids and paparazzi everywhere she went.
Sure.
So, you know, it's the life, I guess. Mm-hmm. I know what you mean, sister. I actually don't.
You don't.
Anyway, let's go to number four. What do you got over there? What do you feel guilty about?
My next selection is Brandy by Looking Glass.
Nice. Man, you love the 70s.
I think this came out maybe when I was in fifth or sixth grade. And everyone liked it. At least, you know, everyone my age liked it. The tough guys liked it. The bullies liked it. Everyone liked it. But it was like, you know what? And this gets into it. It's like, and I think this is why we kind of get into a guilty pleasure, at least with some guys, especially if they identify more with, you know, being rockers of some variety or punk rockers or metalheads or whatever. It's like, so it's all the songs that are actually very, like, emotionally vulnerable.
Yeah, a little bit.
If it's got a pop sensibility and the lyric is really vulnerable, it's like, yeah, that song's stupid. It's lame. And it's like, yeah, but you know what? Like, everybody loved this song. You know, it was good pop music, but
everybody felt bad for Brandy because, you know, he couldn't stay with her because he's married to the sea.
That's right.
You know how it goes.
Yeah.
It's weird being married to the sea, but you have to go. You got to go. Sorry. You know, and like Brandy just like has to hang out in this little seaport and lay whiskey down. And,
and it's interesting.
You feel bad for her a little bit.
It's interesting, the songs, quote unquote, about relationships now and the sensibilities. You know, because it's like in the chorus, it talks about what a good wife she would be. You know, she has a locket that bears his name.
Right.
You know, it's like... Anyone try to write a lyric like that now, they would just be like going, what are you talking about? I don't think we're necessarily better for it. You know, there's a little bit of a richness to some of that stuff that is gone now. Yeah, if I can say that.
It's a little outdated, you know.
But yeah, you know, it's like...
Well, it's only 50 years old, this song.
No, it's... Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. It's probably just about right, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty close, if not.
That was a long time ago. Shall we?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Looking Glass.
You've been very amused by my selections, haven't you?
I love them. I love them, except for Wannabe, but I love them otherwise. But they're all entertaining, and that's the whole point. So check it out. This is Brandy from Looking Glass, number four.
Number four. Brandy, you're a fine girl.
Sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say, Brandy, fetch another round. She serves them whiskey and wine. The sailors say, Brandy, you're a fine girl. A braided chain made of finest silver from the north of Spain, a locket that bears the name of a man that Brandy loved. He came on a summer's day bringing gifts from far away, but he made it clear he couldn't stay. No harbor was his home. The sailor said, Brandy, you're a fine girl,
you're a fine
what
girl.
A good wife you would be,
such a fine
but my
girl.
Life, my love, and my lady is the same. Yeah, Brandy used to watch his eyes when he told his sailor's story. She could feel the ocean fall and rise, she saw its raging glory. But he had always told the truth, Lord, he was an honest man. And Brandy does her best to understand. At night, when the bars close down.
Aww. A locket that bared the name that Brandy loved. Yeah. Sorry, dude. I mean, ma'am. Married to the sea. Nothing you can do about it. Anyway.
I like that it's Brandy who's serving whiskey.
Ah. Keen observation.
I got no. It's like that's all I got. There's no deep meaning.
Brian took extensive notes for this episode.
No, I didn't.
Let's go to number three. It's time to get schlocky.
All right.
That's right. Not Carpenter's schlocky. We're going to the next level. This is our friend Barbara Streisand. Oh. Yeah, and I have to say, I picked up, shout out to the Brand Library in Glendale. Great library. It's all music and art there. It's amazing stuff. I picked up a Best of Barbara Streisand CD there, thinking I would have like 18 tracks of gold, but no, it was 18 tracks of schlock. Her 70s and 80s stuff is brutally cheesy, so much so that like the stuff written by Barry Gibb is like the coolest stuff on it, you know, and I actually like that stuff. It's palatable anyway. And also, You Don't Bring Me Flowers, you know, which is very, very cheesy.
It's interesting because, you know, it's like, actually, my wife is a huge Barbara Streisand fan.
Yeah.
And you know, Barbara has one of those, like...
I like her as an icon, and...
Well, she's just an amazingly gifted singer. I mean, yes. There's just few people in the history of recorded music who can sing like her.
Very much so.
And yeah. There's lots of great songs that she sang, but you know...
Schlocky.
But there's some some real groaners in there, too.
Yep. So this is Top 10 Guilty Pleasures Volume 2. We've also done two volumes of Top 10 Guilty Pleasures of the 80s, and we did Top 10 Guilty Pleasures of the 70s with our pal Morty Coyle.
Oh, boy.
It was his first episode.
I bet he did. He pulled out some real...
Yeah, it was like over 2.5 hours long. He just would not stop, and he pulled out some incredible stuff, yeah, that I hadn't heard. But since we already covered those episodes, those decades in previous episodes, I decided to skip the 70s and 80s on my half of the list.
Oh, I see.
So we are going to go with Babs, but this is from the 60s. This is from 1968. This is from her Oscar-winning performance as Fanny Brice in the film biopic Funny Girl from 1968. It was her film debut.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and she won Best Actress. She won the Oscar for Best Actress, the first ever film she was in. She had done Fanny Brice and Funny Girl on Broadway for about 4 years before that. And I like the song. I like the film. I like the play, the musical, whatever. I like the song People from that soundtrack. But the one I always gravitate to and legit love is the song Don't Rain on My Parade. It's funny. It's fun. Just like Fanny Brice was. She sings... Don't tell me not to live. Just sit and putta. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter.
Hey, yeah.
Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. Don't tell me not to fly. I've simply got to. If someone takes a spill, it's me and not you. Who told you you're allowed to rain on my parade? It's fun. So
yeah, totally, totally.
Yeah. It holds up. To me, it's like, you know, miles above some of that... Evergreen Star Is Born stuff from the 70s.
Sure.
And it's her at her best. So that's what we're going to hear. It's Babs doing Don't Rain on My Parade, my number three.
Number three, Don't Rain on My Parade.
Don't tell me not to live, just sit and putter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. I simply got to. If someone takes a spill, it's me and not you. Who told you you're allowed to rain on my parade? I'll march my band out. I'll beat my drum. And if I'm found out, your turn at bat, sir. At least I didn't fake it, hat, sir. I guess I didn't make it, but whether I'm the rose of sheer perfection, a freckle on the nose of life's complexion, the cinder or the shiny apple of its eye, I gotta fly once, I gotta try once, only can die once, right, sir. Ooh, life is juicy, juicy, and you see I'm gonna have my bite, sir. Get ready for me, love, 'cause I'm a comer. I simply gotta march, my heart's a drummer. Don't bring around a cloud of rain on my parade. I'm gonna live and live now. Get what I want, I know how. One roll for the whole shebang. One throw, that bell will go clang. Eye on the target and wham. One shot, one gunshot. Hey, Mr. Onsteel, here I am. I'll march my band out. I'll beat my drum. And if I'm found out, your turn at bat, sir. At least I didn't fake it, hat, sir. Guess I didn't make it.
She's gonna live. She's gonna live now. See, it's like songs like that where she actually really shines because she kind of injects with her tonality her sense of humor and all that, which is really kind of...
Absolutely.
It's actually pretty cool.
Yep.
Don't Rain on My Parade was first brought to Broadway by Babs in 1964. It was written by Bob Merrill and Jules Stein. In the stage version, there was a reprise with slightly different lyrics, but that was cut for the film version. She sings, well, here it goes, kid. No looking back. Stiff upper nose, kid. Let's give him hell, Bryce. We'll cry a little later. Well, Bryce, that's life in the theater.
Got it.
That's right. That is, yeah, that's number three. You got one more for us coming in at number two. What do you got?
Brace yourself.
I'm braced.
Oombop by Hanson.
You were probably surprised it wasn't on volume one, huh?
Yeah, actually, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But, you know, this it's interesting.
I can, yes.
Well, and this came out in the 90s at the height of the grunge movement. And then all of a sudden,
yeah,
here this thing comes out. And at first you're thinking, oh my gosh, they're marketing three, you know, cheesy little boys.
Yeah.
And it's like, and this is cheesy little song, but discerning listeners will know that they were essentially reviving the Jackson 5.
Totally.
It's totally like the writing and the vocal harmony and all that. It's like totally old school Jackson 5. And you know, once I got over thinking, oh, come on, it was like, is this actually really brilliant? And the fact that it came out in the era that it did, it just was like, it was almost like a palate. I'm not saying whether you like this or that, but it was like a palate cleanser because it was just this lightning rod in the middle of this completely other music landscape going on.
Yeah, most music was pretty, you know, Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and stuff. And it was pretty dark.
Yeah, and even if it wasn't dark, you know, it was just a lot of that heavy and high energy and lo-fi recording. And here's this really slick thing, and it's 60s Motown vibe.
Yeah,
you know, but it's,
I never thought of that.
Three blonde white boys doing it, and it was just like, wow, what in the world is this?
I've heard some more Hanson songs, and they're actually pretty good.
Yeah, they're a talented bunch.
Yeah, like the album, like the song "The Great Divide" was really good. It's like kind of soulful rock and roll, you know.
Yeah, but you know, it's sort of like, again, it was one of those where you hear it initially, and if you have a certain mindset, you got to go, oh, please, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you step back and be objective. It's just sort of like, well, that's actually pretty cool. It really is.
Twist my arm. It's really good.
You know, I think that's actually kind of the whole thing running here is that there's the, what is a guilty pleasure? It's like we're perceiving it through a certain bias.
Yep.
And I think what we find is that when we're I'm gonna make a music trivia reference. When we're through being cool, those you know. If not, go dig that one out.
That's not Oingo Boingo, but it's close. No. But it's close.
Proximity.
Yeah.
But when you're through being cool, you can find that a lot of things you would dismiss, you know, you might find it's like, you know what? There's some really good stuff going on outside of my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I learned that lesson in the 80s and 90s when I was like super into metal and stuff. Like once in a while, something will cut through. I'll be like, damn it, I really liked it. It's not my thing, but I like it.
Oh, actually, good. I'm embarrassed to admit that I was very resistant to what I now consider one of the greatest bands of all time when they first came out because of my headspace. And that was when I was in high school. I was just all about progressive rock bands.
Yeah.
And I really actually kind of thought that the entire whole new wave movement at first was lame nonsense.
You didn't like Devo?
Well, that's a different conversation. But I can remember just absolutely thinking that the Police sucked.
What?
Oh no, but they are literally have been for decades on my short list of my absolute favorite of all time. But I mean, for the first couple of years, and then I can even remember one time being in the car and finding myself singing along to Message in a Bottle. And then as like any self-conscious high school boy caught myself and went, you can't like that. It sucks. And then it was like a year later, I'm listening to one of their records that my sister had because I wanted to finally listen to a whole record so I could see how bad it sucks. And then halfway through, it's like the light bulb went off and I went, what am I thinking? These guys are absolutely genius. And I never looked back since then.
That's great.
It's just absolutely one of my favorites. But again, what's a guilty pleasure? It's more like you self-consciously caught up in your own self-perception. Mm-hmm. Good music is good music from any genre.
There you go. On that note, let's listen to some Hanson.
Yeah.
This one goes out to our friend Steph, who says, please play Mbop, please. And so we will. Number two.
Why'd you say that like Fozzie Bear?
I don't know.
Number two. Mbop.
Stamp our song and have it. Let's add record scratching.
And then everyone
will never not be from the 90s once you hear that.
Whatcha?
I'm going to tell you what you want, what I really, really want. Yeah. Yeah, it's undeniable. Yeah. And it's so Jackson 5. I never even thought of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Hanson, everybody. Let's go to number one. We are here. So here's one that another one I've got a special bond with the wife. I think in equal measure we revere and make fun of this song, and have been for years. Shannon and I used to do a 90s medley live on stage that included snippets of songs by Third Eye Blind, Harvey Danger, Marcy Playground, Sixpence None the Richer, Kiss Me, and others, and it ended with the grand finale, Smash Mouth with All Star. Have to do it.
Heck yeah.
Yep. The song and the band Smash Mouth has been a cultural punching bag for decades. Not unlike Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. Everyone likes to cite All Star, you know. And we all recognize the extreme catchiness and goofiness that can exist at the same time with, you know, Steve Harwell, the late great Steve Harwell. I don't know if he's great, but he's definitely going to be missed because that guy is a character.
He was a clever lyricist, in my opinion. Great lyricist? You know, like, would you compare him to like a Dylan or somebody like that? Maybe not, but you know, with some clever, witty lines he came up with here and there. You know, you got to give him his due with that. You know,
and one thing I thought that was kind of nice is that the day before he died, his publicist came out and told everyone that he's, you know, on his deathbed and doesn't have much time. And all I saw on social media was everyone talking about how much they liked
All-Star.
Him, All-Star, some of the band, some of their other songs, you know, like shout out to Shrek and all that stuff. Like, yeah, it was all positive vibes and everyone, you know, giving him respect. And I hope he got to read that, you know, they
right.
held the phone up. Hey, look what everyone's saying about you, man. You know, because they said he died surrounded by family and friends at his home.
Yeah, yeah,
liver failure, man. Just alcohol. It's crazy. Here's what his manager, Robert Hayes, wrote to announce as part of his announcement that he had died. He said, Steve's iconic voice is one of the most recognizable voices from his generation. He loved the fans and he loved to perform. Steve Harwell was a true American original, a larger-than-life character who shot up into the sky like a Roman candle. Steve should be remembered for his unwavering focus and impassioned determination to reach the heights of pop stardom, and the fact that he achieved this near-impossible goal with very limited musical experience makes his accomplishments all the more remarkable. His only tools were his irrepressible charm and charisma, his fearlessly reckless ambition, and his king-size cojones. Steve lived a 100% full-throttle life, burning brightly across the universe before burning out. Yeah. He was an all-star. And this song, much like Mbop, it is undeniably catchy and I've got a special place in the old bread basket for it. I don't know if that's a thing, but we're going to hear All-Star from Smash Mouth at number one.
Number one, All-Star.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. Place. And they say it gets colder. You're bundled up now, wait till you get older. But the media men beg to differ, judging by the hole in the satellite picture. The ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
Sang that a few times.
You have?
Yeah.
You've done that?
Yeah.
With the Guilty Pleasure Maker?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great. So that song hit number 5 in the U.S., Canada, and Australia back in 1999. No way. Yeah, shortly before he died, Steve Harwell put out a statement to his fans. He said he was fortunate to have lived his dream of performing. He says, quote, "Ever since I was a kid, I dreamed of being a rock star, performing in front of sold-out arenas, and have been so fortunate to live out that dream. To my bandmates, it's been an honor performing with you all these years, and I can't think of anyone else I would have rather gone on this wild journey with." Yeah. There you go. You know, he lived a life. Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. That is number one, and that is our list. Great list, man. Woo!
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I don't feel guilty as much as I should, perhaps.
No.
I don't know.
Yeah. What you find is a lot of those guilty pleasures are just good music weighed down with baggage.
Your own baggage.
Right. Exactly.
How you feel about them. That's right. I'm sure that you have honorable mentions. I know I do. Actually, I'm not sure that you do.
I do have a few.
You're so prepared. But we're going to find out what our honorable mentions are in just a moment. But right now it's time for the listener pick bonus track of the week for part two. Another song requested by our friends on social media. Check it out.
As chosen by our listeners on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, here's the bonus track of the week.
Hey everybody, it's time for the listener pick bonus track of the week, selected by our friends on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram Threads, and Blue Sky. Getting a little traction over there on Blue Sky. I didn't think that would happen. Anyhow, this is the bonus track of the week for Top 10 Guilty Pleasures Volume 2, Part 2. Thank you so much to the amazing Brian Myers for coming through for us. Everyone go check out all the cool stuff that he's up to. He's a great drummer, a great singer, and a great dude. All right. Anyhow, let's play one more track. These are the songs, and this week we were going with songs that you guys were voting on to determine what is the bonus track of the week. There's ABBA with Mamma Mia. We had Len with Steal My Sunshine. We had Wilson Phillips with Hold On. But the winner in a runaway, I must say, it is our friend Neil Diamond with Forever in Blue Jeans. Now, I'm an unabashed Neil Diamond stan. I love him. This song makes me feel a little silly because it is very silly, as are some of his other songs. So, Song Sung Blue, Crunchy Granola Sweet, all that stuff. He's capable of being cheesy, but we love him anyway. It's the great Neil Diamond, Forever in Blue Jeans. Thank you so much to our friend Nick, who wanted to hear this one. And let's check it out, the bonus track of the week.
Listener pick.
Travel be forever in blue jeans.
There it is, the bonus track of the week for part two. Thanks, everybody, for all of your picks and your votes. All right, Brian, do you have honorable mentions?
I do. I have a few here.
Oh, good. What do you got?
I Was Made for Loving You by Kiss.
Ooh.
I actually put that as a guilty pleasure, but I never liked it. I still don't like it. And yeah, just... Yeah.
Where's the pleasure come from?
I don't know. I don't know, maybe like the same sort of morbid curiosity that comes with watching a car wreck. I don't know.
Ouch.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that fits this category.
I know I'm being harsh. I Want It That Way by Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, there's another one.
I'm sorry. That chorus, that tell me why. It's like that's... It's a simple, short little melody, and it's great, but it's like, who wants to admit it?
I used to get mad that he said, I want it that away. That little and they're like, why are you saying that? Stop it.
And I don't know if this is a guilty pleasure, because why? It's a good song. It's Magic by Pilot.
Oh, the Ozempic song?
I know, right? Now they're using it to sell meds. And really questionable meds at that.
I know. I hope they made some money from that. Someone did.
Right.
I hope
right.
The guys from Pilot did. I don't know if they did. But.
That's like one of the like worst near rhymes ever. To take It's Magic to Ozempic.
I know.
It's like, wow, really? They did that to that song? Yikes.
They sure did. And they made a lot of money selling that stuff.
But
that's great.
But that's another one where... Again, I kind of put it through the filter of, you know, guys are trying to assert their toughness through their music choices, and Magic doesn't fit that at all. And it's like, man, that is 70 pop rock at its best.
Yep.
That's so good. It's so well written and stuff.
Yep. Power pop, baby. I have a few more on my list.
Yeah.
I make fun of those new metal bands quite a bit, and Stained and Puddle of Mud and all that. I normally don't like much of that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Nickelback, Creed, all that stuff. I do like Last Resort by Papa Roach.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know why. It's intense, and it rocks, you know. To me, that stands out amongst those kind of songs, those kind of bands. More Estrogen for Y'all. Natalie Imbruglia with Torn.
Yeah, Torn.
Yeah, I think, I'm not totally sure, but I think Dan Rothschild plays bass on that track. I know he did,
really?
Did some recordings for her, so it's possible.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, shout out.
A couple years ago, I had Dan play on one of my songs, and he played beautifully on it.
He always does.
Right, right. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I got to play that song.
Torn?
Torn. It just this situation, and I loved it. It was fun to play.
I was in love with her.
Well,
she was absolutely stunning.
Yep, a lot of people were.
Yeah,
for sure.
And that song got to me. You know, I just would sing it all the time. Got to mention Neil Diamond. I'm just a fan, but you know, got to mention him. He definitely falls into this category. Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show is the song I was thinking of.
I feel ashamed that I can't place that song.
Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show.
I'm sure if I hear the recording, it'll probably click.
It's his version of a gospel song, basically.
Yeah.
He's got the revival, the gospel revival thing going.
Yeah, like, interesting.
Hallelujah, brother. Whatever.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm sure. I got a feeling it's one of those where if I find it and play it, I'll go, oh, of course. But yeah. It's not coming to me right now.
It's okay. It's funny that you say that, because the next song I was going to mention is It's All Coming Back to Me Now by Celine Dion. We played that recently in our Jim Steinman episode. So.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah, we did a tribute to Jim Steinman. But yeah, Celine Dion, that voice, man, it's tough to deny. She's like this little thing that, you know, can like move mountains with her voice, you know. So
she says she has many brothers and sisters, and that she's the worst singer in the whole family.
Wow.
Yeah, just begs the question, like wow, what's going on with that family?
Amazing. Last but not least, I want to mention No Tears Left to Cry by Ariana Grande. She, you know, the pop star you've heard of.
I know who she is. I don't know the song.
Well, it was the first song she released after that bombing that happened. Or was it a bombing? Yeah, it was her concert in Manchester, England. It was like a terrorist attack at one of her shows. Mm. Yeah. Okay. And it's kind of deals with that in a very kind of graceful way. It's called No Tears Left to Cry. It's really good.
Okay.
It moves me, man. It moves me.
Good.
So, anyhow, those are mine. That is our list, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Brian Byers, everybody. Yeah. Coming through.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Thanks for all those months contributing to our Patreon. You guys really, all you Patreon people, you kept me going, you know?
Awesome.
I was working part-time. I was hardly making any dough. Just barely getting by. So that actually helped. Legitimately helped.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Glad to hear it.
I appreciate it. I'm going to post the links to all the cool stuff you got going on. Guilty Ooh. Pleasure Makers and Dead Man's Party and Jenny Alpert and the studio stuff.
Cool.
Nice. Fossil Box. Congratulations and all that.
Thanks.
And this awesome place here in the valley.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, this is great. Is that it? Anything else for the fine folks at home? Well, then say goodbye.
Goodbye. Thanks for having me, Ben. This was fun.
Absolutely. It's good to see you, Ben. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And until next time, peace out.
Hey, everybody, that's Brian back there. He's banging and singing.
I just had to keep on moving till I was back in your arms again. I'm guilty, baby, I'm guilty. Now be guilty all the rest of my life. How come I never do what I'm supposed to?